on. So, as y'all know, I was not here Wednesday night, so I'm hoping I'll be able to make it through this morning. But I am going to take a little bit of a detour this morning. I have to. In Ezekiel chapter 3, I'm going to read a few things, and then I'm going to make some comments. Sunday school offering. Let's see. Brother Kyle, would you mind coming up for us, brother, and taking up the morning offering? Thank you, Brother Darnell. Go ahead and pray for us, brother.
Lord, thank you for allowing us to get come to church today. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Just anything that's given, just pray it's used in your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 4, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and their forehead strong, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." You know what the Lord just told Ezekiel? He said, "You're going to catch it. But I've given you the words, and you will speak them unto to the house of Israel." Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Similar charge was given to Jeremiah. And I'll make my point here in a few minutes here. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 17. "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." He's telling Jeremiah, you better not compromise. "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." The charge was given to Jeremiah that regardless of how they looked, what their countenance was, how they felt about what he was proclaiming, he was to do it. Because God told Jeremiah that if he didn't, he would confound Jeremiah. In other words, boldly declare the word of God is what the message is to Jeremiah. And what did Paul say over in the New Testament? The same principle. He says to be instant in season and out of season. Regardless of what the people may think about it that you're speaking to, you're to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. And with no compromise. And he also told Timothy to endure hardness. So if a man of God is going to claim to be a man of God, he's going to be a preacher, he's going to be a teacher of the Word of God, then he's going to have to endure some hardness, he's going to have to endure some hard looks, and he's going to have to boldly proclaim the Word of God regardless of what mankind may think about it. That is the charge that is given to us. Okay, which leads to the following. I'm going to read some stuff here to you, and I want you to listen to it. How many of you are sick of hearing about this transgender thing? Why is it that the men in the pulpit are not standing up and boldly proclaiming the Word of God in this area? Why is it that political leaders will not stand up? We have candidates for political office running that make the statement that they have no problem with the transgender agenda. We have people running for political office who say they have never asked God for forgiveness. And I think you know who I'm talking about there. But folks, we are in a situation where we don't have a lot of choices. We will have to choose the lesser of two evils. So, here's what I've got to say about the transgender agenda. All this transgender filth and vileness is a slap in the face of our holy God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and is yet further evidence of the reprobate minds that both generate and blindly follow the satanic laws the United States local, state, and national governments are enacting. They blindly do it. And in fact, they advocate for it. It is the blind leading the blind, and that not just into the ditch, folks, but into the pit of hell. That's where they're taking them. In what can be called a paradox of paradoxes, transgender laws are the ultimate violation of the right of privacy of a moral and hopefully godly people. Amen. Think about that. The liberals push this whole idea of your right to privacy. Transgender laws are the ultimate violation of that. Now, what I say about that is let the left-wing, not-so-liberal liberals put that in their politically correct and anti-Christ pipe and smoke it. We're in trouble, folks. If we're Bible-believing Christians in word and in deed, then we know that the liberal agenda is not about civil rights. It is not about civil rights, but is instead about promoting unbridled sin and the vileness, perversion, and licentiousness that accompanies it. It is also about destroying the moral rights of a God-fearing people. That's what the agenda is about. The liberal agenda is both antichrist in principle and in application. They have taken the correction of the abuse of a legitimate civil right, and I'm going to address that in a minute, of a legitimate civil right and turned its application upside down on its head by passing unconstitutional hate speech laws that violate the God-given constitutional right to freedom of speech. Eventually, a guy that will stand up and doing exactly what I'm doing right now, they will come and arrest him. That's what they're going to do. There are even hate speech laws being passed to promote the ungodly and morally bankrupt transgender agenda. In the city of New York, New York, you can be fined $250,000 if you do not honor the gender choice of a pervert or denigrate its illegitimate right to choose its sexual identity. Again, transgender laws are about promoting sin, and they are not about promoting civil rights. Let's get the biblical definition of sin straight. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of God's laws and commandments. Many of men's laws are sin in and of themselves. That's what they are. Man's desire to promote sin does not constitute a civil liberty or a civil right either under God's laws or under the Constitution of the United States of America. American, the people that formed this great nation would be turning over in their graves if they saw what is being done to the Constitution of the United States of America today. Now, let's give a biblical and therefore a logical and moral definition of what a civil right is. What is a civil right, folks? What is it? A civil right is a right that is based strictly in the birth and natural existence of an individual. These civil rights stem from the fact that no individual can choose their gender or their race. That's what they stem from. Therefore, any law that discriminates against or denies rights to an individual because of their natural-born gender or race is a violation of their civil rights because there is nothing they can do about their natural-born condition. We can't do anything about the way we're born. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't care whether you were born a man or a woman. Doesn't care whether you were born black or white or red or yellow. Doesn't care. He's not a respecter of persons. Men and women are not born sodomites, sexual perverts, sexual voyeurs, cross-dressers, or child molesters. They're not born that way, folks. Therefore, sodomy, sexual perversion, indecent exposure, which is what the transgender agenda is all about, they're pushing today, and child molestation are not civil rights that an individual can claim to justify their sin. Sodomy started out being listed as a psychological disorder before it was declared to be a civil right. Folks, I want you to go, and if you've got access to the internet, go and Google the word pedophilia. The first result that came up in my window came up from Wikipedia. And you know what it calls pedophilia? A psychological disorder. And what is the literal interpretation of the word pedophilia? Child love. That's its little interpretation, but it's strictly a clinical term, folks. It is not a biblical term. If you go out and you molest a child, you're worthy of death. You're worthy of death. And that's, people don't buy into that today. They do not buy into that. And my whole point in this is they have declared it to be a psychological disorder. And because it's been declared a psychological disorder, ultimately will reach the point where they cannot be held responsible for that conduct because it is a psychological disorder. No, wrong. It's not. It's sin, folks. It's wickedness of the vilest sort. What's that? Yes, it is. There are a lot of things that are protected classes today so that they can justify men's and women's sin. That's what it's all about. It's all about getting around the Word of God. That's what it's all about. And eventually, they're going to say it's okay for that person to molest a child. That's where this is going, folks. That's where it's going. Sister Darling. Yeah. Yeah. The since it's been now been declared as a psychological disorder, before you know it, it will be declared to be a civil right between any consenting, quote unquote, child and adult. You say it can never happen. That's what a lot of people are saying. It can't happen. They're blinded. They're deceived, folks. Let me ask you a question. What about the animal brothels that exist in the country of Germany for men and women? You say it cannot happen? What vileness and what filth? What about that? You say it can never happen here in America? I never thought I'd see the day here in America when we would have politicians stand up and say it's okay for a man to go into a woman's bathroom, not considering that there might be a child in there. Yeah. So what they're doing is they're spiritually dumbing everybody down. They're attacking here a little and there a little. And before you know it, people will accept it. They will accept it. Now, God holds mankind accountable for violation of civil rights. God also holds mankind responsible for sin that they call civil rights. Sin is still sin, and if it's not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will put you into the eternally burning flames of the lake of fire. That's where ultimately this is going to end at. While God allows the free will to decide whether we will sin, the exercise of that free will contrary to God's laws will result in judgment. Indecent exposure, cross-dressing, and advocating for transgender rights are a violation of God's laws. It's a violation. Therefore, they are not civil rights. Under Islamic Sharia law, the raping of kafir captive women by male Islamic jihadist murderers is an Islamic civil right that violates God's laws. That's an example of one of the laws of man that's made that violates God's laws. And what did the apostles say when they were contending with the Roman government? What were they going to do when the laws of the land came into conflict with what the Bible taught? What did they say they were going to do? They were going to obey God. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need men standing up in pulpits, men behind lecterns, and men in public that will openly declare and preach against this filth that has been brought into our country. It gets worse. That's what we need. We need some men. We need some men. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What an ugly society we have, folks. America has poisoned her wells of living water by rejecting the law of God. Her wells have become as broken cisterns. The laws of God have become a reproach unto America, period. Jeremiah 2, verses 12 and 13 says this, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Amen. We can hold no waters of living life here, of living waters here in America now. That's where we're at. Amen. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 12 says this, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. That is the cry of America. That is the cry of America. And the Holy One has ceased from before them. There's hardly any restraint in our society now. We are eat up with perversion. Eat up with it. Primary example, 30% in a survey, 30% of Southern Baptists think that God would not have a problem with sodomy. Where do they get that from? Does it come out of the Bible? Absolutely not. God has a problem with it. And we have a political leader with huge influence that has a Sunday school class in a Southern Baptist church that says that the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ would have a problem with sodomy. That's Jimmy Carter. That's exactly who it is. And what he does, so he does utter one phrase of truth in it. He says he can't give you no scripture on it. My, folks. Jeremiah 6, verses 10 through 11. Actually 10 through 19. Let's go and read that. Jeremiah chapter 6. Now, this kind of describes us. We're going to see a term in here where they talk about blushing. America's to the point now where we cannot even blush. We have become so wicked and so vile. We can't blush, folks. Nothing bothers us anymore. We're wicked. And we're wicked because the men and women of the Church of the Living God will not stand up to the vileness in our society.
Amen.
We won't do it.
Amen.
There, folks, there's a price to be paid for doing what I'm doing this morning. There's a price to be paid for standing up, but God commands that we do it.
Amen.
We're to endure hardness. Brother.
Brother Mike, that's where it starts with me.
It starts with not believing the Word of God, period.
Well,
yeah.
One individual. I ain't any better.
Just a little bit. It's not just Santa Claus, though.
No, it's any other God that you can put in there.
And
small, thin
field. Idolatry is anything that you put before God, period.
Amen.
And if I took the time to name out all of the idols that we all have,
right.
I could spend 3 or 4 weeks teaching on nothing but that. Our number one idol is us.
Amen.
Us and what we believe. Us and what we want put into practice because it doesn't make us feel good.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. This will address a lot of what Aubrey was saying and a lot of what we're talking about here this morning. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. I've heard a sermon preached on that by Brother John Asquith, and if I had a copy of it, I would encourage you to listen to it if I had a copy of it with me. But he preached a sermon on these uncircumcised ears. And what is the uncircumcised ears? It's the ears that will not hear the law of God because they have not been given it. The problem we have in our society today, and the reason we're receiving so much of what we are, is we have so many people that have uncircumcised ears.
Amen.
They've not been taught the law. They've not been taught the consequences of their sin. They've been told that it's whatever your thing is, go ahead and do it. Whatever makes you feel good, do it. And that's not going to work, folks. That is sending people to the pits of hell, folks. Because people don't anymore. Used to, you could take a Bible and sit down with the average unbeliever and witness to them without having to go all the way back into the book of Genesis, to show them that they are a sinner. They knew they were a sinner because the Word of God was believed in the society. It was preached and it was declared and it was used as the basis for our laws. But we're not there anymore, folks. Everything is a gray area. There is nothing in the Word of God, folks, that's a gray area. It only becomes gray when man gets a hold of it and paints it gray. God's words mean what they say, and they say what they mean, period. But they have uncircumcised ears because they've not been taught the law, so they can't hear any more of what we have to say because they've not been taught. And folks, we literally live like hell.
Amen.
Christian folks live like hell, and we can't do that. We cannot do that.
Amen.
Because we are their examples.
Amen.
We are their examples.
Amen.
And listen to this. Behold, their ears uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. None. In fact, it's under the most severe attack that it's ever been under. I'm talking about here not just the King James Bible. I'm talking about the preaching and teaching of the King James Bible also. Talking about the Word of God. And here's God's judgment. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone, folks, everyone, is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely.
Amen.
Everyone does. How many charlatans have we got out there that are taking money from people, from TV ministers and things like that? How many do we have out there? How many scandals have we had that deal with these so-called men of God? How many have we had? They all deal falsely. They're in it for the money, folks. It's about their bellies. And God roundly condemns that. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace.
Amen.
What about that? What do we constantly hear today? Peace, peace, and there is no peace. There's none. But that's what's being declared.
Yeah.
By the way, Islam is peace, folks. Islam is peace. Islam is peace. Islam is peace. Islam is peace. What about that? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. By the way, Islam is judgment upon America. Here it is, too. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? This transgender junk is an abomination before God. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay. Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Neither could they blush. Have you become so desensitized by sin in your life that you can't even blush any longer?
Amen, brief brother.
Have you? Have you noticed your relationship with God becoming cold? Would to God it were not so.
Amen.
We're all guilty, folks. That includes me, okay?
Amen.
Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path or old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's the charge. Go back to the old path, folks. Go back to the old the commandments and the laws of God from out of the Bible. Go back to the old path. That's the standard. Don't move that standard. Brother Albee was talking about the modern perversions of the Bible a few minutes ago. They have moved that standard is what they've done. They've moved it. And because they've moved it, we have no power in our churches. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's where America is. We will not walk therein. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go my own way. And what does the book of Proverbs say about going your own way? He says he'll let you do it. But you're going to pay the price. And what is the price for it? An eternity in the eternal burning flames of the lake of fire.
Amen.
That's what it is. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I'm going to have my way. Folks, I went to a graduation here don't know, probably been a couple of weeks ago, maybe Friday night was a week ago. And you know what the overriding theme of that thing was, that whole thing? The people that spoke there? Be true to yourself. Look in the mirror, and when you look in the mirror, as a measure of success, this is what was given, will be when you look in that mirror, can you answer the question to the affirmative that you have been true to yourself? You know what that's promoting, folks? Self-esteem. And that's promoting me over God. In the end, have I been true to God? That's what's going to be what the standard of judgment is. Not how I feel about myself, folks. It's how God feels about me and what he knows about me. And does he know me? Not just that I know him, but does he know me? And he says here, also I set a watchman over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their own thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. We've rejected it, haven't we? And this same scenario gets repeated up in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. He goes through this same thing again. But he adds something in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, where he says this. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? That's a rhetorical question. You know what the answer is? There is no wisdom in them. There's none. And here's where we are, folks. Ultimately, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Folks, how is it, how can grown men and women stand up and make public statements that it is okay for a man to go into a woman's restroom or a woman to go into a man's restroom, regardless of whether there might be children involved there? How is it that pedophilia and sodomy can be declared to be psychological disorders? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's where we are. Now that's God's commentary on the transgender agenda in America and anywhere else that it might be at. And I realize that that's not a it's not a very joyful topic for us to talk about in Sunday school, but it is an issue that we must deal with. I'm going to tell you this, folks, and you know this: they're coming after you, children. They're coming after your children. In fact, they have. Have already got most of them through the public school system. Now, I know that there's a big group of folks within the Independent Baptist movement that homeschool. And if you can homeschool, I strongly recommend that you do that. Strongly. But there are people who cannot do it. You need to pray for them. You'd pray for their children. Because, folks, we're in dire straits. They're coming for your children. They want them to abuse, folks. That's how perverted and wicked and reprobate their minds are. They think it's okay to take your children and to do with them as they please. They think it's okay, and they think it, not only do they think it's okay, it is their right. It is a civil right for them to do it. Are you going to stand up? Are you going to stand up? This is some tough stuff, isn't it? It's tough. I make no apologies for anything that I've said this morning. We need to pray for this great nation. We need to pray for the political leaders of this great nation. We need to pray that God will save them. But folks, we're in such a mess in this country, I doubt we'll ever see a national revival. We can see it locally within the local assembly, but a national revival, because of stuff like this, I don't believe that we'll see it. Yeah. A reminder to us. God would not have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah even had there been 10 there. But the sadness of it all was that there was not 10 there. And by the way, folks, this issue of pedophilia or child molestation, it's sodomy, folks. That's what it is. And keep that in mind. I'm going to call it what it is. It's not homosexuality, it's sodomy. It's not lesbianism, it's sodomy. Yeah. Yep. Folks, what he's saying, and it's very true, and they don't like it. They do not like it. Use the Bible term when you're dealing with it. Don't use some clinical term, which homosexual is. Pedophile is a clinical term. It's not a Bible term. What was the penalty in the Word of God for molesting a child? Death. That's what it was. Use Bible terms. And then if they come after you, they are attacking your religious liberty. Not that it'll make any difference to them, because it won't make any difference. They don't care what you think. Yeah, and see that's a problem, folks. I'm opposed in principle to any permit for me to go on the streets to preach. I don't care who, and any permit that regulates my freedom of speech is ungodly, but it's also unconstitutional. That's what it is. I'm opposed to it. I'm opposed to any locality thinking they have the power to license men of God to preach the Word of God. I'm opposed to that. It's wickedness, folks. And it's against everything that this country was set up to do, which, by the way, in the beginning was opposed by religionists. They didn't want Baptists to have freedom of religion or freedom of speech, but they wanted their particular denomination to have it. So my encouragement to you would be to stand. Amen. To stand. And if you feel motivated to deal with your political leaders about it, then do it. But don't expect a soft ear. Amen. Don't expect a spirit of where they're going to receive it, because they'll have to pay a price for it. Political correctness has run amok in our society. Amen. And it's ungodly, folks. Ungodly. All right, next week I am going to get back into a more, a topic that will be more encouraging to us. We're going to start talking about the rapture next week, the other phases of that resurrection. But I felt a need to deal with this particular issue from a scriptural standpoint of view. And thank you all for listening this morning.